16th chapter, Revelation. Revelation chapter 16. I'll begin in verse 13. Revelation 16 and verse 13. I want to speak to you this morning about standing on the eve of Armageddon. Yesterday at the ordination, I was in line to eat with several local pastors, and we began to discuss the prevailing theme that had been preached from our pulpits over the last several years. When it was my turn to respond, I said, well, looking back over the last several years, I suppose one of the greatest, most prevalent themes to the church has been that we're at war, that the church needs to be militant, that there's a warfare raging against our homes. Amen. Satan is striving to destroy our children and our young people. He seeks to divide the church. He knows that a kingdom divided cannot stand. Even Jesus said that's impossible. He tries to put animosity between brothers and sisters in the church. That the church is at war with evil forces that are trying to destroy our country. There's a real warfare, a demonic force that's raging against the freedoms that we enjoy in America. There's a prevailing enemy that we fight on a personal level. There's a personal warfare that goes on. There's temptation all around us. God's people are daunted by temptation constantly, perpetually. There's a persistent warfare that exists in our personal lives to keep ourselves in the will of God, to stay filled with the Spirit. There's so many forces that are striving to overthrow that. It's difficult today to keep ourselves in the center of God's will. Perhaps it's more difficult for Christians today to live a life of holiness and purity than ever before. Piety seems to be gone from a lot of people's lives. Amen. We live in a day where most of God's people are filled with a lot of worldly knowledge. They can surf the internet. They can read the newspaper and understand all the political woes of our day, but don't understand a few verses of the Word of God. That's the kind of day we live in. People are not only not spiritual, but they're not in tune with the teaching of God's holy words. They don't even care. They don't even try to understand and study God's Word and be approved in the sight of God as a good workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They don't realize that we're in a warfare. They don't understand those scriptures that admonish us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to fight the good fight of faith. We need to be doing that today. And I told those brethren, I said, I think that's one of the reasons that one of the prevailing themes of my ministry over the last 5 years is for us to realize that we're engaged in a warfare. The warfare is real. If there's ever been a time we need to heed the 6th chapter of Ephesians and put on the whole armor of God, it's now. One of the reasons why our churches are losing ground is because we've laid our armor down. And we're no longer fighting the fight of faith. I want to be among those that are identified in the Hall of Faith, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 34, that waxed violent in fight. People, we're in a spiritual warfare. We need to engage ourselves. Wednesday night I spoke about the battle of Armageddon. And I know I surprised some of you where I broke with the traditional amillennial position and positioned the battle of Armageddon in the future. Maybe that didn't surprise anybody. I don't know. It should have if you knew the amillennial position. We've been learning on Wednesday night about the forces, the emerging forces of evil that are spoken of, prophesied of by the prophet Daniel. How that they seek to destroy the church. We have the dragon that's been striving to overthrow the woman and her seed for a long time. That has made war with the Lamb. That has made war with the church. We've been looking at those passages of Scripture from the book of Revelation. And this warfare has been in existence for a long time. Actually, we learned that it's simply a sequel of the war that originated in heaven in Revelation chapter 12, where Michael and his angels warred with the dragon and fought with the dragon and his angels. But I assure you, he prevailed not. Amen. He was cast out of heaven. And we are told in the book of Revelation, woe unto you inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath. And in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, we read that the dragon was wroth with a woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that he was making war with those who keep the commandments of God and those that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. People, that's us. Amen. There's a warfare. And Satan and his forces and all these demonic spirits and all of this evil that's been in the world and was thrown out of heaven. It's been trying to overthrow those who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I want to just say right now and here, I'm one of those. I'm on the Lord's side. Now, whether or not you're on the Lord's side depends on whether or not you're one of those that keeps the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's a constant battle that goes on in our lives every single day. Amen. We need to be keeping the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. In this reading lesson this morning, we see three unclean spirits that come out of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophets. We look closely at those Wednesday night. We see how that they go throughout the world. And they deceive the world, and they try to get the world to fight against, to rise up against the kingdom of Jesus Christ, to rise up against the church and all that we strive to do, to rise up against the principles of the cross and the gospel of Jesus, to rise up against the principles of holiness and God's holy word. I'm telling you today, there are many forces that lurk to destroy the principles that we uphold. But I want to ensure you that the church of Jesus Christ is admonished to stay strong. Stay strong in the battle. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs came out of the mouth of the dragon. We know who the dragon is. It's Satan, the devil. We learned that earlier. It specifically identifies him. He's the devil. Mouth of the dragon. Out of the mouth of the beast. We identified the first beast that came up out of the sea as the Imperial Roman Empire. We identified the second beast that came up out of the sea as the Holy Roman Empire. We see that there's an unclean spirit like a frog that comes out of that power. Amen. And we see a third one that comes up out of the false prophet. The one that looked like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. If there's ever been a day where we had this type of prevailing opposition against the church, it's today. All of these isms, that are out to destroy what we uphold and what we believe and what the Bible teaches are on the horizon, on the present day landscape. And Armageddon is not far away. Now, I don't want to be a doomsday preacher, but I'm telling you, we're living in the last days. The church today is fighting against humanism. It's fighting against all kinds of deism and pantheism. It's fighting against Mohammedism. These are opposing forces that seek to destroy Christianity, and they seek to destroy the church. There's paganism and Judaism and worldlyism. There's the apostate church and false doctrine and false teaching. People that claim to be Christian where they teach the doctrine of devils. We not only have all those unclean spirits like frogs that came up out of the false prophets, but we have Mormonism, and we have Jehovah Witnessism, we have Adventism, we have TBN. Whoops, that just slipped out. The point I'm trying to make is we have all of these wolves in sheep's clothing. And they're stirring up this energy. They're stirring up in all the four corners of the world an opposition to all that we here at Victory Church stand for, all that we preach, all that we practice. My friend, if your eyes has never been opened to the spiritual warfare, I pray like Elijah did when he prayed that his servant's eyes would be open, that he might see the holy angels encamped all about him, that your eyes would be open to see that we're engaged in a warfare today like never before. Well, I was going to go through these. I got a little ahead of myself. I'm sorry, but I tell you, I'm worked up. Because we're on the eve of Armageddon, eve of the great day of God. And this great truth that we hold to is being threatened. When I was a young minister and first started preaching, I became somewhat disillusioned and saddened and concerned about all the ground that we have lost. I'm like, you know, all of these seminaries that at one time were sound in their teaching are now teaching all kinds of heresies and doctrines of devils. All of these churches that throughout this country and around the world that were holding to at least the true gospel of Jesus Christ, to where we could have fellowshipped them in the gospel where they were telling people to be born again and have their sins washed away by coming to the cross of Calvary and repenting of their sins and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, are now just simply telling people, you're all right. You're a pretty good person. You don't have to repent. Ah, no, just live a good life. Get saved by human intervention or some kind of human works. But I'm telling you, unless you've had a divine work of grace upon your heart and life, you're doomed and on your way to hell. But we used to be able to fellowship with them at least in the gospel and true churches that at one time had at least held to the truth of the doctrines of Jesus. Some of them may have been cold or not as spiritual as they should have been, but at least they believed the Bible to be true. No longer believe that all the scriptures are true. I'm telling you, it's been a great departure from the faith. And as a young man, I saw all of this that had slipped away. And even today, there are those that see it slipping away. And as an older man, I now see the reason for that. And it's the warfare that we're engaged in. There's a battle that's being fought, and we've just lost a lot of ground. These spirits, devils, working miracles, see, they're portraying themselves as godly or divine or capable of working miracles, but they're, keep in mind, they're spirits of the devil. They're demonic forces. They're not of God, but they're deceiving people that they are God. They have a sign saying this is the way to heaven, but it's not. It's the way to hell. People, we live in that day. Amen. They don't point people to the cross of Calvary. They point people to some other way that's been made by man. Listen, there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the cross of Calvary. That way has never changed, and it never will change. People, we need to be fighting the good fight of faith. We need to realize that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They are not carnal. There will not be a carnal war fought in the end. It's a spiritual warfare. It always has been, and it always will be. One of the things that I pointed out Wednesday night is there is no such place as Armageddon. Oh, I know people say, well, it was the valley of Jezreel or Valley of Megiddo. They say, well, you've got to take the word Armageddon and you've got to break it up into two syllables or two things and take the word Har and Megiddo, and you got Mountain of Megiddo. People, there is no Mountain of Megiddo. It doesn't exist. I know commentators, they want to make a battle exist somewhere on the earth, so they say, well, it must be talking about a valley. John the Revelator must have written down the wrong word. He didn't mean mountain, he meant valley. Or he didn't mean valley, but he meant a plain. We know there's a plain of Megiddo. We know the Canaanites had a city, the city of Megiddo. I've been there. It's not a mountain. And so others say, well, maybe he meant Mount Carmel. Listen, it was a region, an area right in that vicinity where a lot of wars took place. And I believe there's a reason why he links the last warfare with this great battlefield. But I assure you, there is no physical, tangible place called Armageddon. Amen. Now that ought to wake you up and make you realize that the battle is a lot greater than a physical battle. The greatest warfares we fight and have fought as a church has been a spiritual one. So we've got warfare. He says and I got ahead of myself. Let me at least read these verses. I was going to read these verses to begin with. But these evil spirits working miracles which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God. Listen, this last battle is the battle of the great day of God. But up to that point, there's going to be a period upon the earth where the earth is filled with great compromise. There's going to be a great falling away. There's not only going to be a great compromise, but there's going to be a great clash in the end. Listen, we need to be ready. There's an admonishment in here where that the people that are blessed, those people that are saved, they need to be watchful. They need to be attentive. They need to be careful that at the coming of the Lord, they don't find themselves ashamed and naked. Amen. The church needs to be put on high alert. We're close. Let me read these verses. All right, so the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, now Jesus says this, okay? I come. Jesus is going to be present at the last battle. I come. I come as a thief. He's going to come suddenly. He's going to destroy all the enemies. My friend, if you've not read the 19th chapter of Revelation, the 20th chapter of Revelation of the fall of Gog and Magog, if you've not read about him coming on the white horse, if you've not come about his vesture dipped in blood, if you've not read about the name inscribed upon him, faithful and truth, if you've not read about his eyes being as fire and a sword spewing forth from his mouth, if you've not read about him coming in power and great glory to destroy all the enemies that oppose God and his gospel, then you need to read it because it's true. And if you're here today and you're not on the Lord's side, you need to come over as there on Mount Carmel where Elijah said it's time to quit dilly-dallying. It's time to be quit going back and forth between two opinions. If the Lord be God, then serve him. Serve him. It's time for you to come on the Lord's side. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Why halt ye between two opinions? Why halt ye between two opinions? If the world be God, serve the world. Oh, but if God, Jehovah, be God, you need to serve him. Amen. You know, I feel many times, I don't know if you've read John Bunyan's work of, or not, the Christian. He wrote a classic work. And many of the illustrations and allegories that he gave in that, I can identify with. About that one particular time where he was underneath the shield of faith and Apollyon was seeking to destroy him. And as I went across that one time, I thought about me standing over my children. Because I'll tell you something, parents, you need to wake up. Amen. The devil wants your children. Amen. Our schools are filled with demonic spirits like frogs. Evolution is one of those frogs. Yeah. But there's many other philosophies of the world that our secular school system and colleges are seeking to embed in our young people. But I'm telling you, they are of the devil. Fathers, if you've never felt like that you were underneath that shield of faith with your little children under you and Apollyon, the devil himself, trying to break through to get to them and destroy them, you need to get on your knees and get into the spiritual realm and pray like you ought to be praying. Amen. Some of you grandfathers and grandmothers, if you've not been recently at that place where you see the spiritual warfare that's raging against the truth and against the gospel and against the church and against your children and grandchildren, you need to get on your faces before God and realize that there's all kinds of things that are seeking to destroy them. Amen. It may come in on a text message. Amen. Wake up! They may get one text message and hurl them into an addiction that haunts them for the rest of their lives. Amen. They may be out with some buddies or friends and be tempted into taking one drink. And for the rest of their lives, be tormented by alcoholism or some kind of drug addiction. Do you guys realize the threat that's around your children? Amen. Do you? Do you really? One email, one click of a mouse, and your home is filled with all kinds of evil like's never been known in the human race. And never been known possible to happen in the human race. Amen. See, used to, if you were to talk to my grandparents, that stuff was on the east side of town.
That's right.
Ryan, wasn't nowhere near my house. Well, one of the things I don't like about where I live is the bar that I have to pass and the tattoo parlor. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We all live down that peninsula together. That's only really that I don't like that. That needs to be on in some other section of town. Don't need to be, you know. Amen. That's the way God's people used to feel and believe. But man, I'm telling you, that stuff's coming right in our homes. I mean, that sewage is being piped in. Oh, come on! We're living in a great time of deception. One of the greatest deceptions is not just all of the false doctrines that are in the world, but even God's people have been deceived by the devil into thinking that they can handle it. And I'm just here to inform you, you can't. It'll get a hold of you. It'll destroy your life. It'll destroy your home. It'll destroy your children. And I'm convinced it's one of the things that's destroying our churches. Amen. Well, if you wanted a fluff sermon, you should have went somewhere else. I asked my wife yesterday, I said, why does God keep laying this stuff on me? Why can't I just be like these other preachers and just preach love, 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 love? Grace, 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 grace. I tell you why I can't. Because when I look in these little children that these mothers are holding, I want an army prepared and ready at this church to stand up in defense of the truth, that's ready to fight the fight of faith, who will stand up for righteousness, who will be like Paul said in the 6th chapter of Corinthians, who would have righteousness on the right side and righteousness on the left side, and will stand with the whole armor of God and have the breastplate of righteousness and their loins girded about with truth and their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and they'll have on the helmet of true salvation, and they'll have the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and they'll stand, and having all done to stand, they'll stand against the foes of evil. Because I'm telling you, we need to be a group of people that's standing up for the truth, because we're on the eve of Armageddon. Here's how the Revelation letter paints it very clear. You're either with the beast and the false prophets, and you're on the dragon's side, or you're on the lamb's side. Amen? I mean, the book of Revelation doesn't paint any kind of neutral ground, you know. In the book of Thessalonians, and I didn't even read the rest of the Revelation. This passage came to me. Maybe I need to read it. But he was talking about in the book of Thessalonians how that the Lord is coming. I'm telling you, the Lord's coming with power and great glory. And the Bible tells us how that he's coming to punish those. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, verse 8. Verse 7, he was talking about the persecution against the church, those that trouble us. Are we troubled by the evils that are in the world today? Are you troubled in any way? Listen, my friend. I may have stopped preaching because I've lost my voice. Listen, there are evils around us that are genuine. Amen. They're real. And Paul was talking to the people of Thessalonica. He said, you've got all these evils that are troubling you. Listen, when the church no longer is troubled by sinners being lost,
when they're no longer troubled by the wickedness that's in their communities and in their society and in their nation and in the world, creeping into their families and their homes, we're in trouble.
Amen. We're in trouble. He told that group of people, he said, the Lord's coming. Don't worry. The Lord's going to be revealed from heaven. Amen. He's going to be revealed from heaven with his, look at verse 7, with his mighty angels. He's going to be revealed with a flame of fire, taking vengeance on them. Who's he going to take vengeance upon them? Is it just to all these pornographers and all these drug addicts? Is it all these evil people out in the world that hate God? No, look what it says. It says people who simply do not know God. Listen, as long as you are separated from God, as long as you're an unbeliever, as long as you've never come beneath the crimson flow, as long as you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. He's coming with a flame of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and then that have obeyed not. Listen to me. They've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some of you sitting here today, and you're sitting in your seat of comfort. You're among the people of God, and you've never heeded the gospel message to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the Lord's coming with power and great glory, and he's going to take vengeance on you and your hypocrisy and your rejection, and you're not taking heed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're going to be destroyed by the presence of his coming. Who shall, notice verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting, did you note that? Everlasting destructions from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Man, you need to get saved. Listen, there's, you stand on a crossroads right now. I thought about that valley of Jezreel. Some people say Armageddon's the valley of Jezreel. If you ever read the third chapter of Joel, he said multitudes of multitudes stand in the valley of decision. The word Jezreel means judgment. But he said, my nation has an opportunity right now. The nation of Israel at this given time. And actually, he was able to see into the final judgment. He even talked about the sun refusing to shine. He talked about the moon turning to blood and the stars falling from heaven. And there's a parallel between the prophet Joel's day with the people of Israel and the final battle and the final day that we read of in the book of Revelation. He says, multitudes of multitudes in the valley of decision. That's where you're at today. You have opportunity to heed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you sit there undecided to seek the Lord, if you sit there in rejection of the truth of Jesus Christ and his saving work and the opportunity to be saved, listen, my friend, you sit in the valley of decision. But there's coming a day when you'll go to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And the valley of Jehoshaphat is the valley of judgment. There's coming a day when the judge of this world is going to come, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those that have rejected God and rejected his gospel shall be destroyed with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the presence of his glory. All around that area where all of those great battles took place, where Josiah died, where Saul died, the city of Megiddo, where Solomon, he fortified that city, and King David took it from, took that city and built it up, and
The Canaanites lost it. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that took place around in that area that this word Armageddon seems to be in some ways linked to. I don't think it's linked to the place so much as to what went on there. Amen. The battles, the blood that was shed there, the battles between good and evil, the battles between the people of God and the people of Satan, the battles between spiritual truth and false religion, the battles between paganism, deceptions, and awful iniquities. But also in that same region, we read such callings unto the people like Moses. The 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, where he looked at the people and said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Or like Joshua in the 24th chapter, he says, look, you know, either serve the gods of the Canaanites or the gods of your fathers, or serve the true and living God. As for me and my house, I'm going to choose the Lord. Choose ye this day who you will serve. Amen. Jeremiah the prophet in that same area, region, said the same thing. God has put before you life and death. Choose life. Today you sit in the valley of decision. And there's a war raging for your soul. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, let's get a song. I'm asking you to break loose from those chains of bondage that hold you in iniquity and run to the foot of the cross. Amen. Look to the blood that was shed at Calvary. See, if we're in that same area, not far on a hill, there was a great warfare that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was another little hill not far from there where there was a great warfare that was raging for the salvation of your soul. And it was fought by Jesus Christ. And when he said, it is finished, your sins were atoned for. And Satan's head was crushed. And he was defeated. And there's opportunity today for you to be saved by the grace of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Have a work to go on inside of you that's full of glory. Amen. Let's stand and sing. If you're here today and you've never been saved, come, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.